Houston standing by, over.
Jeremy and Joe continues now
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Impromptu CJ Stroud segment. We've been sitting on this. What plan to get to? Just basically where you're at with Stroud, training camp next week. There's some Greg Cosell sound here too, which I love. Greg Cosell. Listening to Greg Cosell talk football, like, it's poetic.
He's great.
He's one of my probably top. He's probably on my Mount Rushmore people who talk football. He'd be up there. John Harris would be up there.
Okay.
I don't know who else. I'd have to think about two more. My Mount Rushmore has two. Joe George and Brian McDonald. There I go. Done.
I really like Chase Daniels.
Done. I'm not a Chase Daniel guy.
Oh, I am.
Not a fan. Not a fan. You are the company you keep. You did a podcast with Deanna Rossini.
That's true. He did.
He comes off a little too bro-y for me.
I kind of like it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, at least we both think he's bro-y.
I just like it.
That appeals to one of you. Doesn't appeal to the other.
Gruden's still up there.
I do like listening to Gruden. Yeah, Gruden's probably
he's
up
still
there,
up
too.
There.
All right, kick Joe off at Gruden.
Yeah, that's fair take. No, it's not. You're keeping B-Mac on your Mount Rushmore over me?
Kick me off for Saban. I like listening to Saban.
Yeah,
I like listening to Saban.
Good pull.
There we go. Those might be before.
He sometimes veers off into, like, taking shots at, like, remember that offseason where he's complaining about how up-tempo offenses were hurting players? Like, when he doesn't veer off into that, I think he's great.
He gets a bit pretentious at times. No, that's I think it's my four until somebody's kicked off. Greg Cosell, John Harris, Nick Saban, and John Gruden. That's a good four.
That's a good list.
It's pretty good.
Who's kicking anybody off of that quartet? Nobody. Nobody. Lance is pretty good.
Yeah.
He'd be on my Mount Rushmore plus one.
I like Herb Street when he's on College Game Day.
I've isolated
in those 3 hours, I think he's pretty good.
Herb Street, he's just so weird outside of College Game Day that I've lost taste.
In those 3 hours, I like Herb Street.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, it just brings down the overall score.
His outside of College Game Day has tainted himself to me.
Outside of those 3 hours, I can't say
I've met him once, too. He's a really nice guy, but he's weird. A weird guy.
Yeah, his baseball takes over.
I know.
Bizarre.
Ichiro Suzuki couldn't cut it in the bigs now.
What? What's this guy's? I forgot this guy's name.
No, you're not really helping me out with the hints.
No, I'm just the QB school.
Oh, yeah. O'Brien.
Yes.
Something O'Brien. He's great with quarterbacks.
Yeah.
He was doing them on CJ Stroud his rookie year. They were awesome.
Yeah. He's like, I like a lot of his quarterbacks.
Yeah, he's really
good too.
He's very, you know, playbook.
Yeah, shows you, explains everything well.
Which can be a little boring at times.
It can be, but I think it also gives like, I think that it brings like a good balance. Like Gruden's the, like, going to give you the funny reaction, the shred him Stroud, like the fun stuff with
him. He's entertaining. Yeah. O'Brien's more
nuts and bolts.
Yes. He's not as entertaining.
No, definitely
he's
not.
He's very good. Very good, but he's pretty dull.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Very dull. Now, his stuff that he says is awesome. He's just incredibly dull. 713-780-3776. Where are you at with Stroud? Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Apollo, you're in with Jeremy and Joe. What's up, Apollo?
Sports, fellas. Sports. Double rides. Which one of y'all just said that I just clicked over again, but Chase Daniels is top NFL boys. God, get out of here.
He's good. Yeah, he breaks on film
horrible.
Good.
He's so bad.
No, he's not.
Well,
takes are terrible, and they always pan out. They always don't pan out when he makes them at the beginning of the year. But regardless, that's a whole another thing. But I tried to call in when Sarge and B-Mac was on last week, and I don't know if y'all just weren't taking the calls because y'all were on the remote or no one picked it up or whatever, but I kind of had to turn it off when he was just glazing Stroud like that, man. Like, everything is not his fault. O-line, not his fault. GM, not his fault. It's like everything's not his fault, but dude has literally been poo cheese since he was crying on the sideline when Tank Dell got hurt against the Chiefs. His trajectory in that lineup and in that building changed 100%. I may have said it prematurely when it happened, but dude, be honest. Since that moment, he has not been the same. He is not a good leader. He does not respond well from adversity, and he wears it so that the rest of the people on the team and in that locker room see that. And when your leader is pouty, head down after every little mistake or whatever on the field, that does not motivate the rest of your team, regardless how good the rest of the team is. And I'm going to end it with this. When Sean Payton found out that Bo Nix got hurt while he was doing his press conference, look at how he responded.
Yep.
All right? You were not going to see from his face that he was defeated or dejected or, oh, crap, here we go again. He got up there and said, Stiddy, we're going with him. That is a leader. Stroud is not that. I'll shut up and listen, guys.
What did he say?
Rack 'em.
Called it poo cheese.
I thought he said blue cheese at first.
No.
He said poo cheese.
But then I realized he said
Stroud,
poo cheese.
Stroud's play like poo cheese.
I, that's a great call. I agree with almost all of it. The only – it's not even a pushback. It's more of like a sidebar. Yeah, but I hope – like, I hope that Stroud realizes everything that Apollo just said within. Like, if, you know, he's probably listening to us, but if he's not listening to us, I hope that Stroud realizes all that stuff on his own. Like, I hope he realizes, okay, these are the areas where I haven't been a good leader. These are the areas where I've been a bad quarterback. These are the, because he still has time to turn it around. I still think that Stroud has potential. We've seen his potential on display. This isn't like one of those, well, he was great in college and, you know, he was really good and everybody thinks highly of him. It's like Cam Smith, you know? He's put it on film. In the NFL, he has been really good. Really good. So he still has it in him. And I think that there is still time for him to turn the tide of his career. So because of that, it'd be like, well, I hope Stroud has figured all that stuff out about him. Because he's dedicated to being a great football player, that stuff changes. He was so embarrassed and disappointed with himself that he's going to have that, you know, inner dialogue to be able to improve in the areas where he has been bad. Because I think it's possible. I think that C.J. Stroud has the potential to be a good quarterback. But I have been very disappointed with him, especially last year. And I think that the Tank Dell part is – it's one thing to be sad about your guy going down, but it is another thing to realize that, okay, this is an adverse situation for our team, our squad. They're going to be looking at me to be the comfort, the cool hand. I think it's a great point. Like, as a parent, like, we see that as a parent and, like, you know, husbands in our marriage and stuff. Like, when you have adverse situations in your house – they're looking at you to see how you react, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, are you going to lose your mind and not be able to be counted on in situations where you need to be counted on? So I really like that take from Apollo. Great call.
Yeah, and I just don't think CJ's got, like, he don't got that dog in him.
I'm a dog!
Like, I don't know, I just don't see it. Like, I don't see, like, a great leader out there. Like, I do think he has a pouty face. Like, he doesn't throw tantrums like other quarterbacks have done in the past. It's like, it makes it a problem for your team as well, but sometimes I kind of wish he would. Like, I kind of wish he would make a mistake and throw the tablet and, like, and show something. But he's just always kind of just there or sad, it feels like.
He gets
and like,
very...
And, like, and then,
he
like,
wears, he's wears
and
his
then
emotions.
When he plays well, like, he's extremely cocky.
I don't mind the cockiness. I don't care.
I don't like it when you're so opposite on the other side. Like Baker's always
like
kinda,
an emotional roller coaster.
Yeah, Baker's Baker. It doesn't matter if he plays well, if he doesn't. Like, Baker Mayfield is Baker Mayfield.
Oh, Pat Mahomes always thinks he's the greatest quarterback of all time, even when he throws three interceptions. Which
Stroud,
I like the confidence.
Yeah, Stroud at times like looks like he is. He feels like he is the worst quarterback just by looking at him, and it also looks like he thinks he's the best thing to ever walk planet Earth. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just too much of a roller coaster.
Remember, I think it was last year. It could have been the year prior. But Stroud had a comment somewhere in the midst of some struggles where he talked about when they're having fun, he plays better.
Mm-hmm.
And that quote, now thinking back about this conversation, what we've seen the last 2 years, worries me as far as the ups and downs, the inconsistency. Like, if he starts having, in his own words, not fun because he has a few bad possessions, like, it doesn't seem to ever kick back the other direction. It just keeps going downhill until he has a chance to change things in the next game.
He's like a teenage dirtbag, you know? You never know what you're going to get with the guy.
You never know.
The
The one thing that I would say, though, is that I haven't lost hope in CJ. Like, I don't think that the book is closed. I don't think that it's like, okay, this guy is toast, it's dead meat, it's never going to work. I still think there's a chance that he can figure this out. I still think it's in play that he is the quarterback we saw his rookie year. He's 25 years old. Like, quarterbacks that are young sometimes have these, and then you see later in their career where they bounce back. I mean, Sam Darnold was terrible. Baker Mayfield was really bad.
Yes, but I'm not sure that – I think, like, I'm close to closing the book here. I don't totally disagree with you. Like, honestly, I think you can be right. I just – I think the people you bring up, it's a valid point, but they did it elsewhere. Like, sometimes it just takes, like, that massive change of scenery – working with the right coaches. Not that there aren't good coaches here, but like I think like he needs a Kubiak like Darnold had, and he might need all the coaches that
Kevin O'Connell or
Baker has had. Like I'm not sure like the situation here, like I it can really get to like that ultimate peak of what CJ can
Why can't it be a Jared Goff thing? I mean the Rams quit Jared Goff.
Well, but Ben Johnson ain't walking through this door. Like the Texans would have to make an elite OC hire. And then hope that coach is here for 2 or 3 years to fix him.
Matthew Stafford, you know, took him until his third year to take off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Josh Allen didn't have the best first 2 years. Not calling C.J. Stroud either one of those quarterbacks. But, you know, quarterbacks at times can take a little while before
for
they
sure.
start clicking. So that's the hope on C.J. I'm like, how confident am I that he's going to revert back to the production he gave you in his rookie year? I'm not going to say it's high. I'm just not going to say he's dead money. I still think that it's live. I think it's still a live bet. Not terribly confident on it, but I still think it's in play. 713-780-3776. Did I miss Branham's response to Carl Ravage firing? I don't root for people to be fired. CJ got incredibly lucky in a dozen passes that should have been picked off his rookie year. Let's not fool ourselves. That's totally valid. Cockiness is one thing. Unwarranted cockiness is the vibe I get from CJ. Junkies have some thoughts on this. We'll hear from Greg Cosell on Stroud, too. I think he brings up some really good points. That's a great point.
That's a great point.
Let's call him Howard Cosell. Greg Cosell brings up some great points on CJ Stroud. 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's Jeremy and Joe.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
All right, Stroud. Where are you at with Stroud? Here's Greg Cosell. A couple of him going on about Stroud, where he sees problem issues for the Texans quarterback.
C.J. Stroud, the last couple of years, has been up and down. Now, here's a thought that I have. Keep in mind his first year in the league, Ross, okay? He was in a Kyle Shanahan-type offense with Bobby Slowick, okay? Now, in that offense, the quarterback has nothing to do with calling protections. That's the Kyle Shanahan approach to offense. And that was the year, his rookie year, when Stroud looked incredibly comfortable. And it just looked like, wow, this guy's going to be a great, great player. I remember a lot of quarterback rankings after his rookie year had him as a top five quarterback in the league. And then they got off to a slow start his second year, and they fired Slowick, and they made a fairly significant change in approach, which has now continued. And they went more with a New England Patriots style of offense. And in the New England style of offense, the quarterback is responsible for setting protections. Okay, everybody can remember Tom Brady yelling out the mic, the, you know, 51's the mic. That's the nature of that offense. The O-line, and you know this, the O-line doesn't really know who to protect until the quarterback tells them who the mic is. And Stroud, that's a major, major adjustment for a quarterback. It adds to the mental part of playing the position.
More Urhart Perkins than West Coast, which was what Stroud was asking for. Mm-hmm. Stroud was like, hey, I want more, you know, say in the offense, which I do think is more detrimental. But also, like, the other side, hey, it takes a little while, like 1 year, like probably is going to look the worst. And if you had 7 years of C.J. Stroud and the Urhart Perkins, the Nick Haley scheme, you would hope that year one's going to be the worst of the seven.
Yeah.
It's like that's the other, like, hey, maybe there's reason for optimism. Here's another one, Cosell on Stroud.
And I've met C.J. Stroud. He's a very intelligent young man. But when you have to make that change, And it's a process. And he'll get better and better at it. But I think it slowed down just his whole processing. And I think there were times where I thought he was indecisive playing the position and therefore was not as anticipatory as we saw him in his rookie season.
That's what's a bit scary, actually. Because his rookie season, he was like, remember, it was JT O'Sullivan, not O'Brien. That's my bad. But we heard so much in Stroud's rookie. Look at the anticipation throws. He's throwing before Nico Collins is making his break on a slant. Like, you had Nico Collins on the right hash. You had a linebacker in the middle of the field that's in the middle of the hash, and Stroud's throwing to the left hash and leading Nico Collins. Like, you were seeing those throws from Stroud. My goodness, that's an NFL throw. That's a big league throw. That's a big-time throw. Where did those go? Why are those gone? And I think Cosell hits the nail right on the head here. Well, he's playing a little bit slower. He's processing a little bit slower. Why is he playing a little slower and processing a little slower? Maybe it's the unfamiliarity with the scheme. Maybe it's he lost his smile. Maybe it's a combination of all of those things. Mm-hmm. But it's scary. It's a bit scary if you're betting on the future of C.J. Stroud, and I think you have to be if you're rooting for the Texans to be, you know, a Super Bowl contender.
Yeah, and I wanted to, like, you know, think back to the worst take of all time from Mel Kiper about how they shouldn't be allowed to play certain defenses anymore in the NFL. Like, that kind of started to happen, the cover two shell, during like CJ's sophomore season. It's really when teams started to also incorporate that, like, and it has made it more challenging on quarterbacks across the league. I'm not just sure he couldn't pivot, but like, I do think, like, there's kind of a pass being given there, because like the way he says it comes off as like Slovic was fired midseason. Like, he didn't have to control the protections in year two.
No.
And that's where the drop off starts. It starts in that season of where all the problems like really start to emerge with CJ. And then it feels like it gets amplified in year three, where he's asked to do more. Like he said, he wanted to more. He wanted to have a say in the offense. Thing is, I don't think he has a say. I think he has more responsibility now. But like, I don't think he wants to run this offense at all. Like, in a perfect world, this is not what CJ Stroud wants.
Yeah, I wouldn't really disagree. I don't think he's a great scheme fit for... And I don't think it's like a 100% true Urhart Perkins. I think it's a combination, a little West Coast element, but I do think it's more EP than it is West Coast. Here's another one, one more from Ross Tucker on CJ Stroud.
You know, I can live with guys playing poorly, Greg. Some of his decision making in those two playoff games was so egregious.
Yeah. Yeah.
That it would really give me some pause before I give him one of those big, like, you can have a bad throw or a bad read. Like, some of the plays he tried to make were just so bad that it's like, wait a minute, what's going on here?
Yeah, the Patriots game is a huge testament to that. I mean, go just watch the four interceptions, period. You watch the four interceptions, what is he doing?
It makes no sense.
That is a bad football play. That is a bad football decision. We had a text earlier say they had three or four more near interceptions in that game. Yeah, it looked like a guy that was playing in his first ever football NFL game. Because you see that from rookies in the NFL, especially quarterbacks.
Bad games.
Yeah, you see rookie quarterbacks in the NFL. It's like, man, it's because it's a jump. It's a huge jump from college to the NFL. Stroud looked like he was playing in his first ever NFL game against New England.
Yeah, it's eerily similar to like J.P. Lossman's debut when he threw five picks in a game. And it was just a laughing stock. Like, he looked totally overwhelmed in that game. And yes, you got a great defensive coach on the other side of the ball. Like, I'll give him that. But that's where CJ's fallen the most short, is against good defensive coaches that can do, feels like the littlest things and get him totally off his base. And whether that's the Jets in the past, or then the Patriots this last year, or Mike McDonald when he was with the Ravens, like, it just feels like anything complicated, he's going to collapse on himself. And that goes back to his rookie year, too. Like, that's just a fact. Like, he plays bad against good coaches.
Yeah.
And like, I don't have the confidence that it's going to change. Like, I'm with you. Like, I'm not totally closing the book on CJ, but I'm not optimistic that he is worth $60 million right now.
You ever heard of EPA?
Yeah.
What is it? Expected play something? I forget what it stands for. But this Scott Barrett, he put out this graphic, which is pretty interesting. C.J. Stroud led the league last year in EPA on the first drive. Anybody in the NFL, he led the league in EPA on the first drive. outside of the first drive, every other drive outside of the first drive, he was the ninth worst in the league. Does that tell you anything? Like, let's read between the lines here. What does that tell you? If he's first in the entire league at EPA, and look, maybe this is why Stroud was good his rookie year, because I think Slowik was decent at drawing up a game plan. I think Slowik was really bad at adjusting. I think Slowik to start the game, good. Slowik, after, you know, he got punched in the mouth, he was going to tuck his tail between his legs.
Halftime was a mess.
It was over. Stroud was the best in the NFL last year in EPA on the first drive. He was the seventh worst on any other drive outside of that. What does that say?
I think it says a lot. It says about CJ liking the scripted plays. I think it says a lot about Nick Caley, too. Like, I don't think he deserves a pass in that, to your Bobby Slowik point. Like, that's the same thing as the game plan going in, the first 20 plays can work. It's what happens after those 20 plays that then is not working. Like, I had not seen that. That's very interesting. That it can be so good and then so bad. That says a lot about your quarterback and your offensive coordinator. I don't think I can pick one guy there who I would blame more on, frankly. Like, that seems like a kind of team problem.
Yeah.
Than a individual CJ or Caley problem. It feels like very hand in hand to me.
I feel like he has his bad feel.
But who has the bad feel?
I think it's mostly Stroud.
Okay. Because I think it's very easy to argue it's Caley then.
It could be Caley.
He can take a week to prepare that first drive.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of times they're overlap. A lot of times they're synonymous. But if, like, I mean, it's kind of like having the answers on the test and then not having the answers, right? And it can work for both of them. That's what's hard to decipher here. We're not in the headquarters, so it's difficult for us to break down who's at fault. But if you go into a quiz and you have the answers, you're going to do pretty good. Well, how are you going to do whenever you don't have the answers? Like, that's what's going to set you apart, right? It's what's going to set you apart as a student. It's what's going to set you apart as a quarterback. How do you handle things whenever it doesn't go as planned? I think CJ Stroud is really bad at handling things when they don't go as planned.
100%.
Whereas the rest of the NFL, you know, better than him at that. Whenever everything's just right, Stroud's going to shine. But here's the thing. When is everything going to be just right in the NFL?
Very rarely.
The best quarterbacks are the ones that do the best in difficult spots.
And that's where, like, going back to his rookie year, there were times when, you know, you've got the Tampa Bay game, the Arizona game, where, like, you're down and you have to make big plays in a big moment, and he executed those. Now, those weren't overly good defenses, but, like, you're down and you're throwing touchdowns to Tank Dell to have game-winning drives. You're putting your team in field goal position to win the game. He hasn't done that in the last two seasons. He just hasn't. And, like, and not all of it's his fault. I will say, like, not all of it's fault. You go back to last year. I can't remember which running back fumbled in the first game. It might have been Chubb. But then Nico Collins has a big fumble in, what, the Jacksonville game. Like, you've got a chance to win these games. And as you're moving the ball down the field, your offense is collapsing on itself for other reasons. But still, you're in that position to where you've barely scored against Tampa Bay because of how bad your offense was majority of the game.
Yeah.
Like, you asked your defense to be perfect in every single football game. So when Henry Toto gets embarrassed by Bucky Irving or White, whichever one it was, on the screen pass, like, yeah, that cost you the game. Well, it's because the offense was dreadful for 3.5 quarters. So it's just like, you've asked this defense to be perfect at all times. They're not going to be.
No, you can't. It's the NFL. Like, things are not going to be perfect in the NFL. You can be better relative to the rest of the league. Things are not going to be perfect. Tom Brady also had one of the quickest releases. CJ does not. He's got a lollipop arm. It's hard to believe how much the tune has changed on CJ just a couple of years. His rookie year, everyone in Houston said he was going to be a world beater. It was immune to the sophomore slump. Now would you even rank him in the top 15 quarterbacks? Over the next 3 days, we'll be telling you our top quarterbacks in the NFL, so you have to tune back in tomorrow. What are the odds Stroud will be quarterback next year? I'm 60-40, he will not.
That's kind of where I'm at.
See, I'm probably 30-70 that he will be. Like, his contract is, he's going to be going into his fifth-year rookie option next year. So, like, are you trading him? Do you just let him play on the fifth-year option? Do you tag him after that? See, I think that because of his, I think the contract lends to him actually playing with the Texans next year if it's not a disaster.
Doesn't Nick Caserio, is he going to start pretending like he knows what a window is? Because, like, this roster's getting very expensive.
The way he acts and talks is totally different.
Like you can probably get Daniil back for one more season. You have Stingley, you have Lassiter, before they start paying these guys. It feels like the next 2 years is like the prime time to win a Super Bowl for the Texans. Whether it's with C.J. Stroud or another quarterback.
But also because your rest of your roster is so expensive, it would help if you had a quarterback who was still playing on his rookie deal.
It would.
Now, the other part of that conversation is, will David Mulugeta allow C.J. Stroud to play on the fifth-year option, which is a coin flip at best.
Yeah, and what's he going to be, like $27 million, I think it is, his fifth-year option?
Which is not a lot.
No, but like, what's an extra $13 for Baker?
Well, you just talked about how expensive this roster is.
But like, it's not a huge jump like to what's going to be available to you. Like, if you're going to a $40 million year quarterback, you can find $13 million of wiggle room somewhere.
They should be able to, yeah.
Like you can do some roster maneuver to get a different quarterback. So I think it's like six. At this point, I would say 60% chance he's not the quarterback.
Yeah, I think it's like. I think 70% chance he's a quarterback.
He is.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the perfect scenario, he's just really good.
Yeah, and you.
That's the best case scenario.
Yeah, and you pay him $60 million. Really good. Yeah. Do you think people will be all the way bought back in? Or do you think there's still going to be a massive hesitation?
Depending on how he plays.
Yeah.
Like, if he plays like his rookie year, everybody's a back in.
You think like people are all the way back in? They're not sure it's an outlier situation again?
Yeah, people are very prisoner of the moment. We had people texting us in every day in the offseason they should trade Yordan because he never stays healthy.
Yeah.
That's true. You bring up the thought of trading Yordan, which it makes way more sense to trade him now than it did in the offseason.
Mm-hmm.
People are acting like you're the dumbest person ever.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I think people will be all the way back in.
Yeah, I'll be honest. Like, I am.
He's Tatsi Emai to you?
I'm worried. I'm so scared of Tua and Kyler's contract situation. Like, I'm not sure I'll be able to get all the way back in on a $55+ million a year contract for CJ for one season of play.
See,
two seasons of play can convince me, but you're going to have to pay him before that second season. So I'm going to be a little hesitant, I think. Unless he's like the reason why they win the Super Bowl.
I've had dialogue with Texans Cap and like Stressens, and they talk more about like the quarterback, like the salary cap percentage than the actual raw number.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, if Stroud were to get fair market value right now, it'd be like $65 million. So if he has a good year, it might take $70 million to sign CJ Stroud.
Well, no.
Like, there's going to be a $70 million quarterback next year, whether it's Caleb Williams, whether it's Jaden Daniels, whether it's, it might be all of them.
Yeah.
Might be all of them. There's going to be a $70 million quarterback next year.
I thought there was
a chance. That's why it's so telling that they didn't re-sign C.J. Stroud.
Yeah.
If they liked C.J. Stroud, they would have locked in the number. That way they wouldn't have to pay him $70 million if he was good next year. And if they thought so highly of C.J. Stroud, don't you think they would think he would play well? That's why it was so telling. People didn't – I mean, it's just follow the money. Follow the money. If Nick Caserio thought C.J. Stroud – if he was convinced, Joe – if Nick Caserio is convinced that C.J. Stroud's going to be a good quarterback in 2026, they would have paid him $60 million this offseason, so they didn't pay him $70 million next offseason after he had the great season they're convinced he's going to have.
Yeah, I didn't realize that Mahomes' rework of his contract put him at $64 million a year as the highest-paid quarterback.
Oh, did it?
That's what this shows on Over the Cap. Is he $64 million a year?
One of those guys is getting $70 million next year.
Yeah, especially it might be just whoever's last. Like the first guy might get 66 and then 68 and then 70.
Yeah.
And then if all four of them get paid, if you include C.J. Stroud, you might see like 72.
What if he's just average, maybe 20th in the league? Do you dump him or leave him? See, if he's 20th in the league, I'm hoping that he plays on the fifth-year option.
Yeah, totally.
Because $28 million for the 20th quarterback in the league is fair.
Yeah, unless you... Unless you are going to make a big splash, if Baker does hit free agency, if the Lions are bad this year and Goff becomes an option, if you're going to blow up your roster a little bit or draft pick capital and trade up into the first round, like if he's the 20th best quarterback, he's most likely just the Texans quarterback in 27. That's why I'm 60-40, because like that's very much in play. He could be the 20th best quarterback all regular season, and then if he has a playoff disaster again, then get rid of him.
Yeah. Twitch hates C.J. Stroud.
Yeah, they do.
It's kind of funny, though.
It's the one thing they've been right about, so they're going to run with it.
Pretty much nothing else they're right about.
Exactly.
They were right about this one.
I'll give them their credit.
So that texter earlier, what did he say? He predicted that Stroud will finish top 12 in the NFL, relatively speaking? I would take that in a heartbeat. I would take the 12th best quarterback season in the NFL in 2026.
They're going to win the Super Bowl if he's the top 12 quarterback. Yeah.
If their defense lives up to the...
Yeah.
And they stay healthy.
Which, I'm making those assumptions here, that they're going to stay healthy. Because if they're healthy, the defense is going to be damn good.
Should be.
Like, they're not going to fall off.
Should be really good.
If he's top 12, like, that puts him with, you know, if you go off the NFL article that came out last week, that was the grouping with, you know, Jordan Love, Caleb Williams, Sam Darnold, and Jaden Daniels.
That feels like it'd be a miracle season.
Like, if he's in that category, then hell yeah, they're gonna be like they'll be so good this year.
Yeah,
I don't see that.
Ryan, you sound like you had something to say.
I don't remember what it was. Sorry, I got a text from Glenn, and I forgot what it was.
I heard the humming of the microphone. I was like, yeah. Here's the other thing though. Why it's a telling off season. I know every team wants to run the football. But boy, the Texans' priority this offseason sure has been, we need to run the football.
Yeah, because they don't like the quarterback.
Yeah, they really don't like the quarterback. 713-780-ESPN. He isn't worth 60 mil. Keep the D together and go get a game manager. See, even game managers are expensive, though. Like, the top 20 quarterbacks in the NFL are going to be making at least $50 million probably by next year.
Yeah.
It's like, not great. Does Houston want a Spada or Stroud gone faster? Stroud for sure, or a Spada for sure.
Yeah, definitely a Spada.
Definitely. There's still a lot of the Houston fan base that's positive on Stroud.
I think it's also
redeemable.
Yeah, it's also like a timing thing. Like
if...
Say Brian said, Stroud right now is redeemable. I don't think many people at this point in time think that Joe Spada is redeemable this season.
Yeah. I think if you were to pull... Always like to do fans that walk into the game, right? I always like to do fans that walk into the game. You go to Texans Bills opening week. They're going to have 68,000 people there.
Yeah, 20,000 will be Texans fans.
What percentage of the Texans fans would be positive on Stroud?
See, I do think in this scenario, that crowd is more positive.
I would think so.
I think that crowd is much, much more positive on CJ Stroud than the social media, radio, podcast audience on Stroud. Like, I would say it's like 70% positive.
Sarge's pretty positive.
Yeah. Very positive. Don't get it, but he's positive. So, yeah, I think like at stadium grouping would be, especially for week one, vibes are good.
That's the thing. People are going to want it so badly.
Yeah, they're going to want to talk themselves into Stroud.
Yep.
And they'll be able to.
They have been.
If they win week one, whether he's part of that or not, and Josh Allen continues to lose at NRG or Reliant now, like, people are going to talk themselves back into CJ after week one.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's optimistic people, right? Like, I mean,
yeah.
Steph
people
Stradley.
Who goes to the games, like, are the optimistic people.
Steph Stradley thinks CJ Stroud's probably going to be a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
And she's going to yell at people on the internet.
She probably doesn't like this conversation.
I mean, about Stroud. Oh, no doubt. No chance. Stressens is high on Stroud.
I mean, I think the Texans win their first 2 weeks. So if they beat Josh Allen, Joe Burrow in that hypothetical scenario,
Super Bowl or bust, week
Stroud's
three.
Back. Stroud to the moon is what was a lot of people's sentiment will be.
Yeah, he could have 5 touchdowns and 5 turnovers in the first 2 weeks, but if they're 2-0,
it doesn't matter. He beat Josh Allen, he beat Joe Burrow. Which, like, right now the pushback, and I heard this from Sarge on Friday, is like, well, he won a playoff game every year. Like, okay, but he cost them a playoff game in the last time he stepped on the field.
He's cost them every time they've lost a playoff game.
KC, would you say that was him? Like, he got sacked eight times.
He played awful.
Sean Payton would tell you that sacks are a quarterback stat, and I trust Sean Payton when it comes to offense.
I mean, it's not unfair. I just thought at most that was probably a hand-in-hand thing in KC.
I would agree to that.
Yeah.
I'd agree to that. But I do think that the quarterback deserves some blame for the amount of times he gets sacked.
Yeah, some, yeah. For sure.
And like, you should have an exit plan. Like, every single snap, you should have an exit plan. Every single snap, you should have an exit plan. If I have a defender in my face immediately, here's what I'm doing with the football. If a quarterback's not thinking that way, that quarterback sucks. And I'm not saying that Stroud doesn't, but boy, it looks like he doesn't.
You know what? Sometimes I get the feeling when I watch Stroud is that he came up because he played at Ohio State, where basically everything was perfect for him. Not that they went undefeated. Obviously, they didn't win a national title.
That was my fear of drafting him.
But he played with, what, 5 first-round wide receivers?
And, like, first-round offensive linemen.
First-round offensive linemen. You know, good running backs. Like, it's one of those things where sometimes I used to have this worry about spread quarterbacks. So things were too perfect, and they didn't know how to adjust to adversity.
I don't know if Stroud knows how to adjust to adversity. That's why I like quarterbacks who are on mediocre Power 4 teams that actually uplift their program.
And that's why they always have more success. Like, people point to Ohio State, like, as like, why you should never draft them, but it's the same story with Alabama. It's the same story with a lot of these schools where it's just like they, like these top schools where they don't have great success.
Yeah. Here's a good analogy that y'all understand. It's like playing the video games on the easy setting, and then you go to the NFL and it's on all Madden, and it's like, well, this is a new sport.
I get that.
If you were playing on the hard setting of NCAA, you're going to have a better transition into Madden.
Yeah.
So Stroud was playing his college games on easy. Whenever a quarterback that's playing on all Madden has a better chance to translate to the NFL.
Yeah, and like with the playoff conversation, like I agree, like it's not all on Stroud, but I also feel like we are, when people talk about that he's won playoff games and like they want to use that as a positive for CJ, they're totally discounting the fact that the Houston Texans had two touchdowns on defense against the Cleveland Browns,
and
that Joe Flacco was bad, and then Justin Herbert, his next playoff win, threw four interceptions.
Oh, yeah. And even Steelers, sorry, I didn't mean.
No, you're fine.
Context matters.
I believe they were up 7-6 going into the fourth quarter in the Steelers playoff game. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Context.
It was something like that.
You're
like,
correct. Yeah. They were up 7-6 in the third quarter, going into the fourth quarter, and the Texans scored
CJ
23 points. Like it's the defense, these are blowouts. It's 30-6, it's 32-12, it's 45-14. But like it's the defense from these games like ultimately spreads it apart, like separates these games such a large margin, and I feel like people just completely ignore that. Like they would tell me I'm ignoring CJ's success in the first round of the playoffs, but like Aaron Rodgers was bad, Justin Herbert was bad, Joe Flacco was a disaster, like D'Amico was able to tell Christian Harris the exact position to be in to have a pick six, and it worked perfectly. Like, that doesn't happen against Lamar Jackson the following week because Lamar Jackson's good and Joe Flacco's not. Like,
it's also just kind of the fallacy of claiming wins as a quarterback stat, because that same conversation leads to what I remember hearing about Jimmy Garoppolo year after year until he finally bottomed out.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, he went to a Super Bowl. He's got 10 wins every year. It's like, okay, because he's got a great coach and great talent and a great defense. He's one guy.
Yep.
Out of 22 starters.
I was so excited about training camp until this conversation.
That's why I'm not excited.
Did we kill your buzz?
Like, I'm not excited. Yeah. Like, it sucks. The Astros season stinks.
So I hope that they really run the ball good.
So the Texans aren't tasty anymore?
And so, because I feel like if it's like, oh, CJ's wheeling, dealing at practice, I'm like, damn, the defense is taking a step back. Like, I think I'm just going to be pessimistic.
CJ's the elementary school cafeteria pizza of NFL quarterbacks, says the junkie.
That's what we really should do when we go through our 32 quarterbacks is comp them to school food.
I don't know if I can think of 32.
I probably can't either.
I can only think of four.
Yeah. We probably have to be exclusive for like the top 10.
713-780-ESPN, HR&P, listener line, 713-780-3776. Who is your junkie of the day? It's Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5. First, a moment on HR&P, Human Resources and Payroll. It's Cougar-owned by my colleague, Go Cougs. He used to protect the Heisman Trophy winner, you know. Chris Fisher over there, all the people at HR&P are excellent. They're the type of people that you want fighting for you. They're going to stay up to date, all the trends going on in the business world, the business sector. They're great during tax season. They're great Q1, Q2, Q3, Q4. They're great across the calendar year. Business owners, let HR&B help you. They can help with HR compliance, benefits administration, payroll, onboarding. HR&B can help in one area, all the areas you need. It doesn't matter because they're going to tailor a plan for exactly what your business needs. You have a problem, you have an issue, you want to take a little bit off your plate, a lot off your plate. HR&B is going to find a way to help you, and they do it in a way that's fantastic. Technology meets service. They have the best technology. You're going to love that, but that service is excellent too. Guaranteed fulfillment. You'll never talk to a stranger. You'll always talk to someone who knows you, knows your business needs. So give them a call. Let them help you out. Let them tailor a plan for you. 281-880-6525. Let HR&P customize a plan for you. 281-880-6525 or check them out online at hrp.net. That's hrp.net.
ESPN 97.5.
This crazy world is home to all kinds of junkies.
I got a junkie for a wife. Don't eat nothing.
Some worthless junkie.
We're adrenaline junkie.
Because I'm a news junkie.
Okay, I'm a Twitter junkie.
An elephant that's a junkie.
But only one can be the junkie of the day.
You're acting like I'm some kind of skeeve junkie.
What loser will be the winner? Find out with Jeremy and Joe.
Shut the f*** up, junkie.
Junkie of the day, 713-780-3776. Junkie. You know who's not a junkie?
Glenn Davis.
Glenn Davis is not a junkie. A junkie for soccer, maybe.
Yeah, I'll say he is a junkie.
Junkie for football, maybe.
Football.
But Glenn Davis coming up at 6. We won't tell him that we lost our bet today. Larn. Losing to Red Star Belgrade.
I don't think he's going to lead the show with
it. Is there day baseball tomorrow?
Yeah, doubleheader. The Yankees.
Oh, good. We got a couple doubleheaders.
We can bet some East Coast baseball because they all got rained out.
There's like five doubleheaders. There's a bunch of doubleheaders tomorrow.
No tennis and no Red Star Belgrade.
Can we save them? I'm kind of mad that they're throwing them all into one day. Can we save these? Can we spread them out? We need some help. We're betting on Larn.
Joe for the giving up the gate and having a day baseball game every day. You get enough Larn betting, though.
That's what I'm saying. I got a point.
Maybe I should stick to tennis. But Soccer Matters coming up after us. 2 hours. 2 hours of Soccer Matters, recapping the good, the bad, the ugly about the World Cup. A lot of hot takes. Taking phone calls, 713-780-3776. Guest, of course, as well. You're going to be dialed in to Glenn Davis, Soccer Matters, for 2 hours. Recapping the World Cup. What a tournament. I can't wait for the next one.
Same.
So excited. I'm picking Spain. I'm going to go on a limb here and pick Spain to win the next World Cup.
You heard it here first.
France.
I'm going Spain.
We go France. Give me Mbappe.
They're co-hosting.
That's right.
Mbappe. Karma. The soccer gods are going to get him for stealing.
For winning the golden boot.
Stealing Lionel Messi's golden boot.
Never mind. I'm not. I take back France. I'm just taking Holland, baby. Give me Norway, baby. Give me Norway. Miracle run from Norway.
There's Norway. They're going to win. All right, Junkie of the Day, 713.
Boo!
It's a dad joke of the day. I gotta get back my crown.
You know what? 8-5.
Gotta get my crown
maybe,
back.
Maybe it's best one.
Gotta get my crown back.
I actually laughed.
I gotta get my title bet for dad joke of the day. Title belt.
You never lost it.
Yeah, you're right. All right, who's your Junkie of the Day, Joe?
Yeah, I got a bunch of them here. First, I'll nominate Bill Miller. Last night was umping at second base during the Reds-Mariners game.
Oh, yeah.
Well, he got in the way,
I had the pitcher on mine.
Reds pitcher Caleb Ferguson called him a lot of mean names.
Former Astro.
Yeah, I
Porky,
do remember
that. Hog, fat ass, double wide, butterball.
So he called him. He told him to get out of that way, mother bleeper. Like,
told him to get his fat ass out of the way.
I kind of appreciated it.
You see the close-up of Miller's face just like...
He's just like, because he knows.
What can he do?
He's like, yeah, it's my bad. Like, I'm right in the way. Look, they were losing 7-0, so it didn't
matter.
Oh,
okay.
But, like, it's like it wasn't like it was a 1-1 game. The Mariners are up 7-0. I think that run put them up 8-0.
The pitchers care about their ERAs, man.
Yeah, I don't know how to pronounce this guy's name.
Okay. Give it your best shot.
Joshua...
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Caruda Grauer.
You nailed it, Joe.
I think you got it.
Caruda Grauer from the Athletics.
Yeah.
He's the non-junkie of the day, really, because he fouled the ball off and stuff.
I saw this.
Ruptured his testicles.
Ball went off of his junk.
Yeah, it's ruptured. So, yikes.
And how did they fix that? They sew it back together?
Great question. I do not want to know the answer
to. They can't cast it up.
And then Brian, S&M.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
I don't want to ask ChatGPT this, but how do you fix a ruptured testicle?
Hey, but you know what? To his credit.
ChatGPT's going to think I ruptured mine.
You know what he did after that?
Yeah, your algorithm's going to be interesting.
He got a hit.
Yeah, he stayed in the game.
He stayed in the game with a ruptured testicle?
He got a hit.
What a dog.
I'm a dog.
Why is the junkie of the day?
I can't read this.
No, please don't.
I can't read this.
You're a junkie of the day instead.
Oh! Oh! I nominate the baseball spy. Got fired by the Angels. An Angel scout who... What a stupid name for a baseball scout. An Angel scout who calls himself the baseball spy, fired earlier this season after he was filming Rockies coaches on his cell phone while working in the stands. It's 2026, big dog. What are you doing? And why is your nickname the baseball spy? That is so lame.
Yeah, it's very...
Like, it feels like such a bad nickname... That you wouldn't be busted for cheating.
No.
Because, like, when you give yourself that nickname, it feels like you want to get busted for cheating. Like, I feel like Connor Stallion's nickname was probably the football spy.
Yeah.
You know? That's very, so bad.
It's lame.
Brian?
I'll nominate Joe Ryan for giving up 6 homers last night.
Tatsuya Imai. He can relate.
Bum. Pat Beverly for getting his LeBron prediction wrong.
People need to stop doing this. Because here's what I think LeBron's doing. I think every time LeBron hears somebody
100%
leak when he's going to do it, I think he waits another day.
Yep.
So every time it gets mentioned, he's going to wait another day. So by, at this rate, he's not going to announce until August.
At least tomorrow, because people are saying it's happening tonight. It's not.
Yeah, stop.
And then one last nomination to CJ Stroud for earning this description from a caller earlier.
Dude has literally been poutine.
I like to dip my wings into that. Prefer it more than ranch.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah. What's winning?
Brian.
Oh, come on.
Brian's winning?
No, it's Phil Miller's fat ass.
Oh, that's a good call.
Sorry, B-Mac.
Oh, damn it.
He like, didn't know a lot about it.
You exposed yourself.
I just knew what it that existed. That's all.
We're not sure.
What he does on weekends.
Yeah, we don't know, man. You never know.
So Bill Miller doesn't win?
It's on his Twitter bio.
College football 27 national champion.
He puts it on his cover letter.
That's it. I got a vanity license plate.
Congratulations, Brian, on your victory today. Junkie of the day. It's going to do it for us. Thanks to Brian for the hard work. Joe.
Thanks.
I'm Jeremy. We'll talk to you tomorrow on a White Boy Wednesday. Keep it here. Soccer Matters. 2 hours worth coming up with your favorite, Glenn Davis, right now on ESPN 97.5. I feel like the Texans are going to taste better because the Astros have tasted so bad.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.